1 Corinthians chapter 11, the Apostle Paul lays out the very centerpiece of what we will do today. We will partake of the Lord's Supper in a little bit, but I wanted to read just something that Paul had to say about it, because everybody has a take, how they see things, how they respond to things, and we are very much indebted to the Apostle Paul for many, many things. He begins in the 11th chapter at the 23rd verse. He says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which was broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner, he also took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament of my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye show the Lord's death till he come." But he adds something on to the end of this that I think is extremely important, because it shows our dedication. It shows how we stand before the Lord in many ways. "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat of this bread," in verse 27, "drink of this cup of the Lord unworthily, shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." Paul made an accurate point, a point that says, I am not going to make it right. He didn't say you messed up and you went back to the Lord and sought forgiveness. No, that's not what he said. He said, if you've not done the very thing that you should have done to family, to friends, to other people, and you choose never to make not to make that right, then you're not worthy of taking communion. You're not worthy of the Lord's Supper. But the one thing that he pointed out, though, really comes down to forgiveness. And that's the beauty of the things that Jesus laid out before us. He had a Simon Peter that would betray him, but he heard the voice of Jesus saying, I forgive you. He had someone that would say to him that, I'm going to turn you in. I'm going to walk away as Judas. But Judas never lived long enough to repent as I know it and hear the voice of forgiveness given back to him. I know how many people feel about that. I stand in between, I guess, somewhere. I guess I waffle in that, because I know what the Bible says about Judas, that he's chosen as the son of perdition. But at the very same time, I have to think, if he would have sought Christ's forgiveness, Christ would have forgiven him. I truly believe that. But this morning, our text is going to be taken out of, I only have like four different places I'm teaching out of the Bible right now. So I did find Luke chapter 22. This morning, if you and I are to have communion, now I'm not talking about the Lord's Supper. I'm talking about all of us together. We would say we don't use that term, we're communing together. We're fellowshipping. You ever thought of it in that regard? It's fellowship. The strength of the church is fellowship. I believe that's what Jesus was trying to get through to us at the very time that he was giving out this opportunity to break bread and drink with his disciples for the very last time. He was saying, I'm going to be gone, but there's one thing I'm not going to do. I'm not going to leave you comfortless. There's a spirit that will come. He will empower you to continue in fellowship, to continue in the place that you need to be, in the midst of each other, because that's where our strength is in this world. The Christ that lives in every one of us provides the strength for someone else. When we're feeling down, we have others that stand with us. When we feel on top of it, we're the ones that stand there and say, here, let me help you. I can help lift you up. I know, well, I have feeble knees. That's okay. God has given me extra strength today, and I'm there for you. I will be that person that's going to be there. Historically, we look at the church and we see the very fact of that fellowship. Yes, there is an outward fellowship, but there's very much a spiritual fellowship. A fellowship that says, I have truly believing with you. I stand with you. We call it a cornerstone fellowship. A man pointed out to me this week that his wife was a member of the Catholic Church. And he said, you know, the one thing I enjoyed about being in the Catholic Church, it didn't make any difference where I went. It wasn't about being a member of St. Mark's or St. Luke's or whatever saint you want to talk about. It was about being Catholic. Anywhere in the world he could go. He said, that was one of the things I never felt out of place. I think that is very true in Protestant churches. But if we lift up the name of that church as the only name, then we've missed the point. The kingdom of heaven is at hand, and his name is Jesus. The one that we are here to fellowship with, and that can be always true. I can fellowship with one person, but the third member of that fellowship is always going to be Christ. He's always going to be there. It's not an unwanted person. It's the very wanted person that we look for every time. And in that night in the upper room, Jesus seated at the head of the table. I know that we have pictures of all the things. We got him in the middle. Everybody spread out. John lying upon his lap. You know, I want you to know that all the apostles were there. All 12. They were right there during this fellowship. How was Jesus feeling? I know what he said. I long to do this with you. I long to spend this time. This is what I want to do. My desire. Look at verse number 14. I'm in Luke 22, verse 14. And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Now, do you think that there was great joy in his heart? That he was pumped up, and that, you know, how we get when we're really spiritually excited about the things that God is doing. I don't know if he was that way, but I know this. He was not going to let that time pull everybody down, and he never has. He's always been an uplift. He's always been the one that thought of somebody else, even when things weren't going the exact way. And obviously, it was not going the way that we would like to have seen it gone, but aren't we glad we're not God? But he had joy in his heart. He said, I desire to do this. I want to be right here in communion and in fellowship with each one of you. That's where I want to be. I don't want to be out with everybody else. I want to be right here with you. And when you think about it, it was a small company of men that were there at that time, but now it's become a very large company, a company that includes each one of us. We're here celebrating right along with them, whether we were in the upper room or not. We are celebrating the very time that he took to have fellowship with his disciples, as he has fellowships with all of us. We are his disciples, and God is doing that through Christ in our lives today. In verse 16, he says, for I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this, divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took the bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise, also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. Down through the centuries, the church has always found strength in communion. They've always found strength in the very opportunity to partake of something that gave semblance to who Christ was, his body, his blood, all of those things. Now, sometimes they apply extra things to it. I don't apply. There are things right here. To me, when I look at the bread and when I think about these crackers that we'll be taking as the body of Christ, I'm not thinking of his physical body. I'm thinking about the body that was broken for me. That's what I'm thinking of. I'm thinking of how he put himself out there to be punished. How he went through all the things. He was literally physically broken for each one of us. I don't think of this grape juice or this wine as they partook, which was a very common thing in the Jewish feast days. I'm not thinking of it just as that. I'm thinking of it as not just simply the blood of Christ because it's red. No, I'm thinking of it, this is what was spilled for me. It was spilled for me. I was watching John filling cups earlier, and he was having a little fun missing the cup. I could see why. I'm glad I wasn't the guy doing it. I'd have shook it all over the place. But I thought, it's a good point. It was spilt. His blood was spilt for each one of us. You know that fellowship doesn't change? It doesn't. We add people to it all the time. And you know something? There's always room for another one. There's always room for somebody else. You say, well, the seats are full and we like this tight little community. Well, there's always room for somebody else. That's what fellowship is about. It's about sharing Christ with each one. Because to me, first, fellowship is the greatest gift we've been given. We've been given each other. You know, human friendships are so mostly isolated. You have a certain group of people that you call your friends. And they that's exactly what they are. But they're restricted to a few. I mean, true friends. I'm not talking about acquaintances. I'm talking about true friends. But when it comes to the church and it comes to Jesus, it includes every one of us. And this is a fellowship. These are friends. This is every one of us put together. And the thing about it, it's going to be endless. It will always be that way for us. We will have been given something that's an endless fellowship. Oh, we may depart this world, and they will be missed. The chair that they sat in, where they were located, you know, in the congregation, I kind of get that in my head. Then when you switch seats, I'm going to have to tell you about it. But it's still fellowship. We miss people. And I think of people, I look out here now, and I think of people that are gone. But they're still in the fellowship. In fact, they're enjoying even better fellowship, I think, than what we are enjoying right now. But we're bringing everybody together and anybody together. Every one of it. There's always room for one more. That's what a spiritual fellowship will provide because it speaks to us on the deepest level of our hearts. You know, we can be the cursory things and say, hey, it may rain today. Isn't that great? Okay. Well, I hope it does rain, but I'm, you know, it just, well, how's the weather? How's your golf game? You never asked me that. That's okay. I'm over it. But when it came down to what Jesus had to say, he simply made that question. I have a burning desire within me to do what? To eat this Passover with you. And today he has that same desire. He has the desire to share this. This is his longing. And it should be our longing. It should never grow old. Yeah, I know that there are some that take a communion every Sunday. And I've always felt like that it comes to a place that it becomes a trite, just a mechanical thing. I hope that they enjoy it as much as I hope you will enjoy it today. That it will be something that we get to do together. Because I know it changed the evening. You realize that the evening was of that time that Jesus spoke of right there in Luke. Before, we already had disciples arguing who's going to be the greatest. Remember? That was part of it. How did Jesus respond? He jumped up and railed. No, he didn't jump up and rail at all. He simply said to them very calmly, and as Christ always does, he said, whoever wants to be the greatest, become a servant. And he took the towel and a basin and washed their feet. That's the greatest. The ones that serve, the ones that do things. There's always fellowship in Jesus. And there's always fellowship here if you want fellowship. No one can be isolated. No one can be pushed off. Well, I'm not important. Yes, you are. And so today we're going to do a fellowship feast. And it truly is. Well, there's not, but it's just a little bit. It's still a feast because of the remembrance of Christ. It's something that we should do and something that we should remember. I can promise you this was a tremendous evening, an absolutely tremendous evening. There that night, Thursday night, in that upper room, the blessings that came that way, it looked like everything went out the window when Jesus was taken. It looked like everything had gone to the bottom, but Pentecost was coming. The promise of the Spirit was coming, and it would change everything. But when he said he took the bread and he took the wine, he said, this is the one thing we'll have always in common. We will always have that. It's always going to be here, right for us. That bread is forever because that is the body of Christ. The wine is forever because it's his blood. It will always be that way. It's not just a symbol of what is physical. It is what's spiritual. It's what will apply to each one of us. Forever he will be identified with this right here. Forever we will remember this right here. No matter where we go, no matter what we do, he's always giving us something. And he's doing this morning. Something that he's never given us before. Can you think about that that way? Another blessing. You say, well, I've had blessings. Have you had this blessing yet? You see, it's something that's fresh and renewed every day. It's something that is provided for us. You can recall the events of, if you want to dwell upon who's the greatest or who's not the greatest. But even through all the trials, through all the things, Jesus said, I just want to spend the time this last night with each of you. That's what I want to do. And this morning is the same way. I look on my life, and I've watched the church for 50-some years now. There are those of us that have denied the Lord. There's probably some that have even betrayed him. That wouldn't surprise me in the least. But the fellowship that he provided for me came because of the miracle of his forgiveness. I can never get past that forgiveness. And I never will get past it. It will always be something right there. Down through the centuries, there's always going to be that. What's historical, what's institutional is the church, but more important, which is that outward part, is the inward part. The part that you may not say to another person. Someone you may not say it to anybody in this room. But the spiritual church will hear that cry. That's been his promise. That will always be his promise. He has given that to us. That whatever we bring to him, he will hear it. I think we'll miss part of this if we don't do the very things that we're doing this morning. I think we miss a great part. But I want it to be significant because it's the body of the Lord. That's what it is right there. It's been extended. It's been wrapped. It's going to be presented because it's the fellowship of the believers. The other thing that it is, it's something that always comes back to me. It's the bridge. Whether we are in Robinson, Texas today, or whether they're in the farthest reaches that we could even begin to imagine of Ethiopia or Russia, there are Christians today celebrating this very same thing. That's the bridge. His name is Jesus. You know, we have to defend a bridge. We don't have to defend him. That is a bridge that will never, ever go away. And last, it's just the hope of the world. It's the only hope that we have. No matter whether you're in an oppressed land, and there are many that are in that oppressed land, or whether we're in the land of what we call the free, it's always going to be the very same. People are praying today. People are believing today. People are fellowshipping today. They're doing every one of these things. They're hoping. They're praying. Whether it's war-torn or whether it's nothing's going on, we every day are building a kingdom, and we're not building it for Cornerstone. We're building it for Jesus. And so today, as we come to partake of this fellowship feast, I want you to pray, and I'm going to give you a moment. If you have something that you need to say to someone, I want you to say it. I don't want anybody to even think that they could take of this unworthily. Forgiveness is forgiveness, and it happens every time. All we have to do is say, Father, forgive me. And Jesus is quick to do that very thing. Let's pray together.